Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once said that the first mitzvah that a person should accomplish in life is to be a bar das. You wonder, I've never heard a bar mitzvah speech on this. I've heard a bar mitzvah speech on the first mitzvah that he does is the benching that he has afterward, a mariv, say kriya shma, right? But this is the first one. The first one is to be a bar das. Now, a bar das is someone who understands what he needs to do. He calculates what should be done and when it should be done. He acts properly and he does things that make sense. A person who's mesuder is a bar das. He thinks things through. He knows what he's doing. It's that. A child has no das. A child has absolutely nothing. He doesn't know what to do or when to do with it. He'll eat randomly. There's no meal plan. He'll eat whenever he can find some time. He doesn't know when to get up, when to be asleep. He thinks that you should be asleep. You know, maybe early in the morning when everybody else is getting up, but he goes to sleep. He wants to go to sleep a little bit later. He doesn't know when to be quiet and when to talk. I think that's kind of obvious. Just have to look at any of my kids. What to eat. Just simply put, what to eat. If you left it up to a child, that child would be eating candy all night long, sleeping all day long, doing nothing else other than pretty much that. Finding anything that he possibly could. And there's no Seder. There would be no order to life. Because that might be one day, and then the next day he'd wake up a little bit different. Everything would be different, because that's what a child is. A child has no Seder. There's nothing there. Random increments in time to him just don't mean anything. And the house would be an absolute total mess. Because no one's going to clean. He's never going to clean up after himself. And if things get sticky, they get sticky. He'll just walk out, do something else. That's what happens when there's no das. An absolute mess of a room. This was not specifically on you, so don't worry. But that was a mess of the room. Someone who's bothered by every little thing that happens. That's a person without das. If you're that type of person who every 20 seconds has to pick up their phone because they're wondering, maybe I got a text message back, that's a person who has no das. That's the definition. You can't live your life normally. Because you're subjugated to your master, and the master is something that's making you get up and do something when you really didn't have to do anything at all. That's the idea behind it. It means you're just movable. You've got something going on. You're confused, and that happens to everybody when it comes to certain things in life. But it also happens when it comes to this as well. This is also a child. A child uses every excuse in the book. As long as he doesn't have to admit defeat, admit that he did something wrong, he'll use anything as long as he doesn't have to think. And that's really what it is. So what does it mean to be a bar das? A bar das means having a seder and understanding what he needs to do, at what time, in what place. Those are all there. Shabbos is a time, yes, to rest, and yes, to keep the mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do of Oneg Shabbos, davening, etc. But it's more than that. It's a time for thinking. Especially on these Friday nights where you have a little bit of extra time. It's difficult to go to sleep at 7 o'clock in the afternoon, right? 7 o'clock at night, I should say. But it's after the meal's over, and if you don't have an oneg, if you don't have a shalom zacher to go to, 7 o'clock sounds like an amazing time. But I'm speaking for me personally. I can't get to sleep at 7 o'clock at night. If I go to sleep at 7 o'clock, I'm waking up at 1 and I'm up. So I can't do that. So there's a time to just sit and think. Maybe to read a little bit, but to think, to sit and think. Not to worry about the garbage your phone has to offer, and not to worry about any other things. It's just sitting there and saying, where am I? What am I doing? For that reason, Rav Dessler calls Shabbos Me'ein Olam Haba. Me'ein Olam Haba means it's similar to what Olam Haba is going to be like. We've spoken before about Olam Haba being this world of Das, where everybody knows everything, where Das is filling up the world. Right, that's what it's supposed to be like. And if Olam Haba is this world filled with das, because your work is done, you're going to spend a day with the Holy One, and you're sitting there together, then if that's true, you finally have that menuchas nefesh, that yeshuva das, that you've looked for all week long, you finally have it. Of course it's a time to make up sleep. Who here doesn't make up sleep on Shabbos? Something they might have missed during the week. But it's so much more than that. You have an opportunity to feel what Olam Haba is going to be like. For that reason, great gedolim don't sleep on Shabbos because they find it to be a waste of their time. If das is the ultimate of what Shabbos is all about, if Olam Haba is going to be this place, you don't want to sleep for a second through it. Why would you want to sleep in Olam Haba? So why would you sleep on Shabbos? If it's made Olam Haba, you'd want to do even more. The Ben Ish Chai says that every blot of Gemara that you learn on Shabbos counts as seven blot. Seven blot altogether. So I had a chavrusa when I was in yeshiva. We learned during the week, and on Shabbos, we chazard everything we did that week. Because you get every daf you did during the week itself. And then on Shabbos, you get multiplied by seven. It's like one of those games where everything you do is multiplied by seven. So of course, you could do even more. So we just went over everything, we chazard everything, we got seven times as many blot as we would normally get. If we finished four blot that week, we got 28 blot on Shabbos. If we finished five blot that week, 35 blot on Shabbos. And you can do your own math from there. Just multiply by seven. That's amazing. And why would you want to do anything else? So last week we spoke about saying, I love you, Hashem. And that's the first of the 10 steps to greatness that Rabbi Victor Meller mentions. This one is a little bit different. This one is, spend 30 seconds a day thinking about Olam Haba. 30 seconds a day. Now that's a lot of time. That is a lot of time. But if you do it toward the end of the day, spend 30 seconds a day considering what Olam Haba is. Now at first, when I first heard this line from Rabbi Victor Meller, I always thought what it meant was, think about what your Olam Haba is going to look like in just a simple line. What is your Olam Haba going to be? If you could picture you in Olam Haba right now, what would it be? And the thoughts that came into my head, I would love to sit with the greatest sages of the world. Sit with the greatest sages the world has to offer. To completely understand, for example, the age of the universe. Explain to me how this worked. And maybe it's a really short shear. Maybe it's 5779, and that's it. And maybe it's just the simplest answer in the world. I'm going to look and be like, okay, that's good. And that was that. But then I'll ask, and what? Busmit the dinosaurs. And I get to hear that. Maybe Olam Haba is an answer to all of those questions I can hear. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu was like, oh, let me explain to you. There are fossil fuels. And I'm like, oh, I knew that answer. But at least I'll get it. I'll have something that's right there. I'll have an answer for something which I thought was so difficult. It'll be the easiest thing in the world. I remember when I was in Rav Asher Shir, Rav Asher Ha'eli in the mirror, I remember that everything he said was so clear out of his mouth. You came out of Shir, and it sounded like it was the simplest thing in the world. Honestly, the most simple, like, there was no problem at all in the Gemara. Like, what's the issue? When he would look at you, he'd be like, you have a problem with this? And everybody would be like, no, no, nobody has a problem with that. And then as soon as you left Shir, there were, like, fist fights breaking out. Because everybody understood it in a different way, and nobody understood. There were question after question after question, but he made it sound so clear that you couldn't think of anything else. It was the clearest thing in the world. Maybe that's what it's going to be like. All of a sudden, the clarity just sets in, and maybe it's going to be there. Maybe you can really go into a shir where I don't know, Charles Darwin's exact opposite is going to sit there. He'll look the same as Charles Darwin, the same long beard, same long white beard with hair, whatever it is, just he'll have a massive keep on his head, and he'll explain how evolution does or doesn't work within a Kaddish Baruch Hu's world. Maybe you could sit on that. How about just a shear on time, how time works, and getting past that fourth dimension? That'd be awesome. Maybe that's what the Das is, that you get to go to Olam Haba and you get to all these shurim that you've always wanted to hear about, you've always wanted to know about, and you go from one to the other, and it's just awesome because you get all your questions answered. Maybe you would love to hear some of the maisim that are brought in Tanakh firsthand from the protagonists that were involved. You want to know what it was like to work for Lavan? You want to know what it was like to be on the Teva? You just go to Noach. Speak to Yaakov Avinu. Maybe Olam Haba is this ability to go to every single person and say to them, so what happened? Reuven, did you really switch the beds? Yeah. Crazy, right? Tell me what happened. You get to hear everything. It's no longer Midrashim. It's Mamish hearing it from the protagonist, from them themselves. Wouldn't that be awesome to be able to see? You could go to Elio and Avi and Elisha and be like, do it again. I want to see something. You can ask Elio and Avi and Elisha to do the miracles, the 9 of Elio and the 18 of Elisha. You could do it again and again and again. You could go and find Ashmedai, king of the demons, who's sitting there learning a Mesipta Durakia, and go up to him and be like, so what are you doing here? You're the king of the demons, right? What are you doing up here? And just ask him anything you want. Was Shlomo Melech that rich? Was Shlomo Melech that smart? What were you really thinking when you said to split that baby down the middle? What if the woman wouldn't have said, do it? Would you have gone through with it? What would you have done then? You can ask all these questions. You could be there. Maybe you want something different. Maybe you want to go to the Rambam's shir on tefillah. Can you imagine the Rambam giving a shir on tefillah? Just going through, say one siman after the other, going through and explaining exactly what he meant, why a person should daven, when a person should daven, explain his ideas, and then go through and show his real sources, not just, I don't mean to say it this way because the Beis Yosef, but the Kesef Mishnah and the Magen Mishnah, but really where the Rambam said, I got this from here. And it's a makor you never would have thought of. And the Rambam's sitting there. Don't you want to sit there and hear Rabbah and Rava argue it out themselves about Defanai? And just hear it from them? Where Rabba says, I think with Yishan B'Kin L'Shmo, Rava says, Yishan B'Kin L'Kaimo. And you're hearing it from them, and they make the arguments, not the Savarayim later on. You can go to the Savarayim and you can ask them why they made the Gemara the way it is. Why do you put this in, but you took that out? Why do you put this story in? What was your point here? Why is this here? This doesn't belong here, it belongs somewhere else. You could talk to the Savarayim themselves, the unnamed Savarayim who put the Gemara together, and ask them what's going on over here. Can you imagine just seeing a shir in the corner and you see like a bunch of people standing there with like a long beard and you're like, is that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai darshaning on the Zohar? I think that is. I think that's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Let's go hear Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai speak about the secrets of the Torah. Oh, and his Rabbi Akiva is speaking later. He has this shir after that. Well, that's amazing. You can hear from them everything. You could sit down at a quote-unquote tish of the Sfas Emes and hear the Sfas Emes darshan bepeh mole as he's going through what his Talmidim put down in the Sfas Emes in shorthand. You can hear that. You can watch the Kedushas Levi walk around hugging every Jew he sees. Going around Olam Haba, hugging every Jew and trying to grab Jews out of Gehenna. You see like a Malach going like, no, we told you, Rav Levi Yitzchak, stop. You can't pull them all out of Gehenna. They've got to stay there for a little bit longer. You get to watch that. Maybe that's what Olam Haba is like. Maybe that's what Olam Haba is. But maybe it's not just about the Das. Maybe it's the basking in the glory of the Ziv HaShechina. The Shechina's shining down in you. And I know we forget that there's such a thing called the sun in Chicago. But let's say that there's a Shechina that's basking down and you're on the perfect beach. The perfect beach with the whitest sand, separate beach. It's whitest sand and the sea is beautiful blue. The sky is an unbelievable blue. No clouds whatsoever. But there's an awesome breeze that even though you're hot, you still feel a little bit cool. You have your best drink in your hand. I don't know if you get alcoholic drinks in Shamayim, right, in Olam Haba. But whatever it is, and you have everything you need, and you're sitting there, and you're basking in the glory of what the Shechina is. Maybe it's that. Maybe you're into a little bit more excitement. Maybe you're driving a car at 400 miles an hour down a clear road that's just absolutely like the best road ever. And it's like got these turns that you'll never mess up on. And everything's there. Maybe it's something like that. We have no idea. And that's what I thought. I thought Olam Haba is all about thinking the greatest things you can, what you've always wanted to know, what you've always wanted to do, putting it all together and saying, that's my Olam Haba. But I think it's more. That is there. And there's no question that your thoughts of Olam Haba should include what's going to be there and how you're going to understand things and how everything's going to be like that. But talking about Olam Haba, just saying it out loud, makes it more tangible. Makes it a real, something that's almost like a chetza. Something that you can grab. You can see with your own eyes. The more you talk about it, the more real it becomes for you, the more you start thinking about how you want to get there. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't create us for this. This isn't what God created us for. This is ridiculous. We were not created for this. It just doesn't make any sense at all. And for our lives to just be randomly 70, 80, 90, 100 years, and that's it, and we're gone, and there's nothing else afterward, that's pointless. This is not a world for us. So we sit there and we say, why are we here? That's the world, the Olam Haba world, where we understand everything, where we're getting everything we want, and everything's awesome. That's the world we want. We're sitting here and we're saying to ourselves, well, maybe we can take some of it right now, but a terrible version of it, a version that's 1 billionth, if that, of what it's really like, something I can't even describe as something. And I can take something. I want my Olam Haba to be a really good beach. So I'm going to take vacation at a really good beach. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to grab my Ein Olam Haba, I'm going to try to put it in this world. But Chazal already tell us, you know what Ein Olam Haba is? Ein Olam Haba is Shabbos. Ein Olam Haba is Shabbos. Yes, Ein Olam Haba is also mentioned as Shemesh. But Ein Olam Haba is Shabbos. That's what it is. So maybe it's a different type of preparation. Maybe spending 30 seconds to think about Olam Haba is to prepare you for what Shabbos is really all about. And maybe it's really about the whole week that way. It's to separate from, instead of the what Olam Haba is, it's more about the how Olam Haba is going to be. If you didn't prepare yourself for a shir, let's say you were supposed to do work and you come straight into a class in the afternoon, you were supposed to read 100 pages in order to come into class, and the teacher is droning on and on and on about something that you should have already studied, but you know nothing about. You don't know the phrases, you don't know the words that he's using, because he didn't read anything. Well, that's pointless. Can you imagine going to Olam Haba and not having the phrases you need to note in order to understand the answers? You go in, and there's an unbelievable drush going on, and the Rav is speaking, and everybody is sitting around, and you're just like, I don't get what's going on. So you turn to your neighbor, you just like elbow him, you're just like, what's going on? What's he talking about? He's like, oh, he's talking about Chagiga. And you're like, I never learned Chagiga. He's like, oh, I can't help you. It's too late for that. Maybe you should go to another shir. So you get up and you walk to another shir, and this Rav is darshaning, and it sounds awesome, and everybody's there like, oh, and everybody sounds awesome. And you're just like, what's he talking about? And he's like, he's in Yevamos. And he's like, oh, I never learned Yevamos. Oh, maybe this is not the shir for you. Maybe it's that. When we say that you should spend 30 seconds thinking about Olam Haba, maybe it's about setting yourself up for success and getting it in before you leave. After all, at the end of the day, if I didn't prepare myself properly by getting my book, my pen, my paper to come into class, and I come into class and I'm just like, go ahead, teacher, drone away, how in the world am I supposed to get anything out of it? What's the point? What am I going for? I really can't get anything there. If I'm going to step into Olam Haba and not be embarrassed, I need to have something with me. Maybe I don't remember every Gemara that I've learned, but you know what? I'm going to finish Shas because I'll at least have seen it once. So when I go up to Shemayim, hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me the schar for that. I'm not a Shas Yid. I'm not a person who can learn Shas just like that. I can't do all of Rambam. I can't do all of Shulchan Aruch. Maybe I can't remember it all, but I bet you could see every page. I bet you could go through every page. I'll bet you even if you wanted to, you could probably just use Sansino and read through everything and at least have it available for you, at least have it somewhere there. Take 30 seconds out of your day and ask yourself if your daily routine is preparing you for eternity. And if it is, then you're awesome. You've got everything set up. You're ready for Olam Haba because Olam Haba is right there. Your Shabbos is leading you into the Me'ein Olam Haba. But if it's not, if your daily routine is not preparing you for what Olam Haba is all about, then you might need to change it. So what do you think is going to happen? Do you think it's just going to be easy? You're going to walk in and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just going to give you everything as a gift? It's not the way the world works. That's not the way Olam Haba should work. It should work in a different fashion. So what are you going to do to change up a little bit? I said this to somebody 8 years ago. He was a sophomore in high school. This kid went to Israel and finished Shas in 1 year. Skokie Yeshiva kid. I believe, Michal, your class? He might be a year older than you. Finished Shas in 1 year. Now why? He didn't have the ability to sit in and learn all day long. He didn't, just couldn't do it. So he had a lot of downtime when he was in yeshiva, and he was in a yeshiva that, you know, didn't have that much downtime, but he just found himself somewhere. So he read Gemaras. He didn't understand it all. Who's going to understand most of Kachim? He didn't understand it all, but he just read. In 1 year, he finished 33 Masechtas. He had finished three beforehand, right? And he finished the 36 Masechtas. There's technically 42, whatever. He finished the 36 Masechtas that finished us. He finished it. And he made a Siyum HaShas when he came back. Because he did it. Because all you have to do is read. And maybe you won't understand it the first time, but once you read it through a first time, you're going to do it again, right? You'll do it a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time. And eventually, maybe you will start to understand it a little bit. Maybe you're never going to understand Temura. I have yet to understand most of the blot of Temura. Right? But maybe. Maybe it will be. Maybe it'll hit you, and all of a sudden you'll be like, I'm ready. I'm ready. I've got this. And when you finish that, you'll say to yourself, well, what about Yerushalmi? We've got to finish that also. Baruch Hashem, Art School's coming out with something there. Right? And then you'll say to yourself, but I'd really like to go to a Rambam shir. But in order to go to a Rambam shir, I've got to finish Rambam. I've got to do that. And if you finish that, I mean, then it's kind of sad if you don't finish Shulchan Aruch also, right? I mean, you just finished Shas Bavli, Shas Yerushalmi, and Rambam. So you're not going to finish Shulchan Aruch? Rav Yosef Kairo is going to meet you in Shemayim and just be like, seriously? What's up with me? And you're like, well, I saw the Kesef Mishnah. You're going to be like, he's going to say. When you finish that, then maybe tour, something like that. But don't worry. At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at you and say, look, you finished Tanakh, right? No? Maybe you should do that also. Maybe that should be part of it. Now do you understand the greatness of Reb Chaim Kanievsky that every single year makes a siyum on Tanakh, Mishnayos, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifra, Sifri, Tosefta, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, Medrash Rabbah, Medrash Tanchuma. And I forgot what the 13th thing is. Oh, and tour. I didn't say tour, right? Yeah, tour. And tour. Every single year. And that's in 12 months. If he has an extra month like this year, he finishes all the other midrashim. Hey, this is what you can do. You can do it. You just have to start reading. You have to start doing something a little bit more. And prepare yourself. Get yourself ready. But first, before that, 30 seconds. 30 seconds every day about Olam Haba. Prepare yourself properly. Have a good week, everyone.